Morning, I'd like to preach on the subject of the shortcut to success. The shortcut to success. What kind of idea do you have in your mind when that title is mentioned? Let me tell you what came to my mind when I thought about it. The shortcut to success meant to me ways to get out of work when you have to work. All of us, I guess, are looking for the easiest way to do a difficult thing, if there is an easy way. I guess the shortcut method is taken by the majority of people, and that shortcut method, I have finally concluded, is just simply this: wishing. Wishing. To most folks, that's the shortest way to success. Just wish a thing done. Let me say this, if wishing would work, then nobody would work. If wishing would work, then nobody would work. I guess the last change that takes place in a Christian's life is the change that makes him become time conscious. Do you ever give thought that this may be the last day? We never think about this. This could be the last hour. This could be the last chance. This could be your last church service. We never think about that. See, all that sort of bothers me. But it's a fact that I think God wants His people to be conscious of. We are not going on forever down here in this life. We don't have forever to do the things that God calls us to do. Time is running out. And there comes a time when it is too late. The old saying is, it's too late to shut the gate when the horse is out. There comes times when it's just too late. And so one of the things that I believe the Holy Spirit tries to do to a person when they become filled with the Spirit is that He tries to impress upon their mind the importance of time. The passing of time. Now, I don't think you can read the parables of Jesus and all of His talk about being fruitful in the unfaithful servants, nor the book of Proverbs, without seeing very quickly that God has a tremendous distaste for laziness or for time misspent or busyness with the wrong work. In other words, when you do this, either you're busy at the wrong thing or lazy at nothing, then you're both unfruitful and you're unfaithful. So time becomes a very important factor because your idea of time will determine whether or not you're going to work today, or I might say work this hour. If you always think I have tomorrow, or I have next week, or I have next year, you're not going to work today. Mañana, if it's good enough for me, means that I will never do a thing today for God as long as I live, because I will live always thinking I have tomorrow to get the job done. Today, work has become one of those four-letter words that we say man should never mention from his lips. You don't talk about work today because nobody wants to work. You talk about Christians, and normally when you talk about Christians, you talk of them as being God's sons. You never talk about them as being God's servants. We say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. How about I'm a servant of God, and I'm a servant of the King? Oh, I'll get around to that one of these days. You see, our concept of time spoils us and ruins us of the fact that we become worthless to God right now. A worthless child is a child who thinks he can always do the job asked to do tomorrow or a later day. I think one of the signs that will eventually crop up in a spirit-filled believer is that eventually he will say, you know, I don't have any time to waste. I don't have any time to waste. As I thought about this message this morning when I was writing it, the most precious gift that I have right this morning is what? Time. If I didn't have that gift from God, I wouldn't even be here preaching. I'd be in some morgue somewhere. And God gave me, I guess, and I can't even this morning say 24 hours, I don't know. Men have died in the pulpit. But I'm saying what grace God has given me in the sense of time is the most precious gift I have this morning. And it's still morning. In Psalms 90 verse 12, it's an interesting verse. A verse that we don't pay a great deal of heed to, but it says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What do I do with the time God gives me? Well, I must bow my head in shame and say, you know, I waste probably the majority of it. I mean, I just flat waste. I mean, I do nothing with it that really could be worthwhile, even in my own eyes, much less the eyes of Almighty God. Teach us to number our days. I have lived 43 years. If I broke that down into days and hours and minutes and seconds, it would astound me. What have I done with 43 years? Well, I do not hanker facing God's judgment to answer that question. But a more important question is, what am I going to do with the time that God still grants me minute by minute? Now, I don't have any money to burn. I guarantee you're not going to. I knew a boy one time. He won't impress all those other teenagers. And he'd go around and he'd roll up dollar bills and he'd smoke. Well, that's about what folks do to smoke anyway, you know. Maybe it's $2 bills now, but he would take actual money and set that stuff on fire. And I thought to myself, well, you are really a nut. You know, I don't have money to burn, but I got time to burn. And I just burn it up all the time. But you know, time is worth more than money. Money has no eternal value. My time will have eternal consequences on my life. How valuable is your time? I read a saying the other day, if you have time to waste, don't waste it with somebody who hasn't time. I read a story this morning about Benjamin Franklin. Now, you all know Benjamin Franklin. He was a man that was, for one thing, known as the man of the printing press. Man who was a literary producer. One day he was in the back of his print shop setting up his steel type to print his paper, and a customer walked into the front of the store and looked over the various books that Mr. Franklin had printed and had for sale. It took him 1 hour to go through all the various books, and finally he found one book to his satisfaction. He walked up to the clerk. And he said, a young man, what's the price of this book? And the young man said, the book is $1. The man says, surely you can give me a better price than a dollar. Give me a discount. Now, what's really the best, lowest price you give me on this book? The young man said, a dollar. That's what I have to charge you. That's what I've been told by Mr. Franklin. Well, the man spent 1 more hour there looking around some more books and came back with the same book and said, is Mr. Franklin here? And the boy said, yes. And he said, go get him. And so he went back and he got Mr. Franklin, and Mr. Franklin stopped what he was doing. And he came out to where the man was, and the young man said that this book was a dollar, but Mr. Franklin, surely there's a discount to friend, and maybe there's a better price. What is the best you give me this book for? Mr. Franklin said, $1.25. $1.25. He said, well, hey, wait a minute. This young man just offered me a book for a dollar. How can it went up? He said, mister, my time is busy, and I had to stop doing something to come out here and wait on you. And he said, well, now you're joking. Now you're really joking. What's the lowest price this book? Mr. Franklin said, $1.50. $1.50. He said, $1.50? Did you say $1.25? I said, yeah, but you wasted a few more of my minutes. Because I could have been doing something else to make more money. The man got the point and paid $1.50 and walked out of the store. How valuable is your time? Mr. Franklin thought that his time was worth money. I've heard of people going to doctor's offices and threatening to sue them and give them a bill for 4 hours sitting there in his office because their time was worth something also. And I've heard doctors laughing as though their time is not worth anything. Sometimes, you know, we do not have anything on earth to do and we're willing to go to somebody's house and just sit down and spend the whole day talking about nothing of any value whatsoever. Well, again, I say if you have time to waste, don't waste it with somebody who doesn't. Who doesn't? We don't have time to waste. Not if you're a child of God. You don't have any time even to spare if you're a child of God. And I think we need to have the Holy Spirit of God constantly impressing upon our mind the time factor in which we are living. I read this, the door to success is marked push. Now, there's a lot of truth to that. In other words, success is about 90% push and about 10% pull. Somebody may pull you into a job, but if you don't have the push, somebody else is going to push you out of it. The first step to ever get a job well done is to get the job done. You know? I think that's the first step. We oftentimes spend more time mouthing and fussing about the work that we're called to do than it would take to actually do the work and get it over with. The Bible says, 6 days shall a man labor by the sweat of his brow. Our air conditioner says, sort of switched that curse around, hasn't it? The 6 days shall a man labor by the sweat of his brow. And God said, that's the curse for sin. That's the curse upon man for the fall he brought forth upon the creation. Man says, well, I'll agree with God about one thing, man. Work is a curse. Few and far between say they love the job and they just can't wait to get to work and just don't want to ever leave when the hour's over. And sometimes we start new work just to get out of doing old work. And what we end up with is a pile of unfinished things all over the garage and all over the house and every drawer in the house and every closet is full of things that we started to get out of doing some other thing that we started and couldn't finish. I got a table in my garage that I've been working on for 3.5 years. Finally got the top done after 2 years. Now I got the bottom to go. You know what I have to do to it? Within 4 hours, I could finish a table that's been sitting there for 3.5 years. I say I don't have the time. And yet I know I sit down and goof off more time. You know why I don't finish a table? Because I've gotten down to the hard part. I've gotten down to the part where I have to sand it. And then I have to spray it. Then I have to rub every one of those coats of spray. I don't want to do that. And so I started the clock. And that's the start I've always got to. I'm down now to the spot where I have to put the hinge. I hate to put hinges on clocks. So now the clock sits there in another spot in the garage. And once the hinges are on, then it's a problem of finishing it and sanding it and finishing and sanding and finishing and sanding. I don't like to do that. So the thought comes to me, well, what you ought to do, Billy, is start another clock. I got clocks all over the house. I'm not finished, you know. Something wrong with them. And I'm not the only one like that. It doesn't take long for a hobby to become work. And that's when we no longer like the hobby. Sometimes I get a bright idea, oh, I want to polish the car. And I get out there and get the bumper done. And I say, man, that's enough of that. It becomes work. I don't know whether you're like that, but I'm not built to keep my enthusiasm going when the going gets rough and the work gets hard and the newness and the excitement wears off. I've always got a better idea popping up in my mind. One of them is go get something to eat, and that's a bad idea. I tell you, that's a bad idea. That never solves anything, you know. But I never seem to go back to the work once I go in and eat. I find something else to do. Then I say, well, you know, it's not good to work on the stomach. That you just put something in, you better rest a while. I tell you, we can kid ourselves out of our time. The day is gone, and the sun sets, and what have you done for God? For yourself? For anybody? God asked for volunteers. How many folks stuck their hand up? We've been taught man don't volunteer for anything because somebody takes you up on it. How come God can't get volunteers? Well, because they know God expects them to work. And not only that God expects them to finish what they start. When you put your hand to God's plow, you don't give it up. And most folks want the option of quitting right in the middle. So they say, well, I'm not going to volunteer because God will make me work. Not that God's overbearing or God's too demanding or God's too strict or God can't be pleased. It's just that He wants me to work. And He won't let me quit till I get through. And that's just the thing I don't like about it. I mean, He's good to work for. He pays good. But He wants me to work. And He won't let me quit. Well, that's true. That's true. God is like that. God's like that because He knows the work has to be done and there comes a time it's too late. It's too late. There's the work to be done and it must be done today because it cannot be done tomorrow because the chance will not be there tomorrow. God knows the value of time, so God says you must work today because it's the only day we have, man. Everything hinges on it now. My stuff is not like your tick-tock in the clock. My stuff is not like your table. You can't go back 5 years from now to my stuff and find it still sitting there. My work is today's work. I don't operate like you. My children argue now as to which of the 1-3 jobs will they have to do each day. And they don't like any of the three. I don't blame them. I don't either. That's why I give it to them. But people have to learn, you see, responsibility. I want no lazy kids around my house. Who's going to do the dishes? They never volunteer. Each one of them, it's her turn, it's his turn. Who's going to get the dirty clothes up and wash them? Nobody says me. Who's going to clean the house up? Nobody says me. And I have to come in and legislate policy every day. You do it. I can come back in 30 minutes and still sitting there in the sink with little dirty dishes. They've always got an excuse. What have they been doing? Oh, they've been busy watching television. Or playing with the dog. Talking on the telephone. They've been busy. Busy doing nothing. We're all like this, folks. Just can't say to my children, they've learned probably from me. You see how it works. This is the way we are. We don't understand the value of time. And the effect that I'm not working has on other people. There's only one person that knows the shortcut to success. It's not the pessimist because he says the work can't be done. And it's not the optimist because he says, well, the work can be done. And it's not the realist because he says the work won't be done. It's the peptimist, because he says, I did it. It's the man that's got some get up and go and pep. It's the only one that'll ever know the shortcut to success. And what's the shortcut to success? Well, it's plain and simple. Work is the only shortcut I know of. Wishing won't work, or nobody will ever work. Now in Ephesians 5:16, I want to elaborate on this verse in closing. There'll be a lot of things that I'm going to say, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I hope that you might want to jot them down. If not, if you want to, I can give them to you later on. But verse 16, chapter 5, I think is the command that God gives His children. Let's start in verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly or correctly, and don't walk as the unsaved or the foolish folks do, but be wise, man, be wise. How the foolish folk walk? They're not wise. How are we supposed to walk? Redeeming the time. They don't do it. They waste it. They blow it. They blow their whole life. But you ought to be different. Walk redeeming the time because the days are evil. First of all, the word redeem. It seems to imply here that time is in captivity. And that God expects us to, so to speak, free it, to set it loose, to be used for God's good, God's work, and God's glory. In other words, we are to rescue time. Rescue it from who? From the devil. He ties us up all the time. From the world, it ties us up all the time. And from the flesh, our own selfish self, we tie ourselves up. And God says, release the time from the devil. Get me some time, man. From the world and from the flesh. Get me some of that time. Because I have to use your time to get my work done. And that time right now is held captive by the devil, the flesh, and the world. You're going to have to release some of it from me. No one has more time than anyone else does. None of us have free time. When God says free the time, He means you're going to have to take it away from somebody or something else that already claims it. The devil says, that's my time. And God's going to have to get us to say, no, sorry, I'm taking back the time you claim, and I'm going to give it to God. Now, how do you redeem the time? How do you redeem it? Number one, use it only for what you know God would sanction. And I think 8 hours employment is sanctioned by God. Everything you do ought to be released time work, whereby it could be God's plan for your life. Don't ever spend your time doing something God would not sanction. You redeem the time that way. Don't let the world and the flesh and the devil monopolize your time. Give it to God. In other words, use your time for improvement. Secondly, you redeem the time by forming a workable and wise time schedule. That's something that hardly any of us ever do. But you're going to have to decide in your life what on earth is priority. What ought to come first? What is essential? What is trivial? And what is a trifle? What is priority? And you cannot do everything demanded of you. I think laziness sometimes is a problem, but disorganization is a greater problem. Not knowing what to do or not figuring out what ought to be done first. What's a priority? I tell the kids that dirty dishes all over the sink and the drain board has a greater priority than chasing the dog around the room. They don't seem to understand priority. I do there. You see? I think it's a priority that you understand what is important and you zero in your time schedule. There will be time for this. And something else is going to have to go. But you must establish some kind of essentials and non-essentials in your life. There are some things not worth starting in the first place. And so you must learn to sort out the jobs and the demands put upon you and learn to say yes to some and no to others. And make it stick. Otherwise, your life will be disorganized. You will not be able to do anything worthwhile because man has too many demands placed upon his time. Thirdly, you redeem the time by learning from mistakes. Seeing how you wasted time in the past enables you to avoid doing it again. Fourthly, redeem the time by making sure that God has a right to tell you what is priority and what is not priority. In your public work, your private work, your spiritual work, and your personal work, give God a right to have a say-so. And that's redeeming the time. Five, redeem the time by guarding against things that you know will waste time. Six, redeem the time by doing today's work today. And do not put it off until tomorrow. Why should we redeem time? The Bible says days are evil. The days are evil. What's that mean? Number one, they are uncertain. they are uncertain. They have death written across every one of them. Every sunrise has sunset written across it. The period that you and I have to time is short at its longest, and it's very uncertain. So why should you redeem the time? It may be all you've got left. Two, time is precious. And you're going to be held accountable by God and judged by God for every single solitary second of every day you live. You're going to have to give an account of what you did. So redeem the time. You're going to be calling the carpet for it. Thirdly, redeem the time because the work God gives you to do has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. There'll be folks in hell because you didn't talk to them today. And there'll be folks in heaven because you did talk to them today. There comes a time when it's too late. Time has eternal consequences. You can turn a person from the road of wrong to right in the right day, in the right time, in the right moment. You pass it up. Kiss them goodbye. Four. Why? Redeem the time because time is always filled with the unexpected. You might get sick. You might get tied down. Something could happen. So you redeem the time while you're free, while you're able. Fifthly, because the difficulties of a task worsen as you wait. Why redeem the time? Because the longer you wait, the less chance for victory. Sixthly, your eternal paycheck is riding on your redeeming the time. All the rewards that God will ever give you will be based on how you use your time. If you want to go to heaven empty-handed, empty pocket, for the rest of your eternity, waste all your time. Again, redeem the time, seventhly, because the time you lose can never be gotten back. And lastly, because of the danger of withdrawn opportunities very suddenly. Closing, I want to say that in prayer we ought to take the habit of asking God to do five things for us every 24 hours. We ought to ask Him to remind us of five things in closing. One, remind me that my work, that is His work, remind me that His work is important and deserves doing and finishing. His work is important. If it's worth starting, it's worth finishing. Secondly, remind me how thankful I should be that God even wants to use me and that I can do the work He asks of me. You be thankful that God even wants to ask you to help Him. And you can do it. Thirdly, remind me that God is counting on my faithfulness. And if I don't do it, the job may never get done. Remind me, fourthly, that my time is running out. And too late is surely creeping up in my future. And lastly, remind me that I will be judged and rewarded on how well I redeem the time. Father, we're thankful this morning for the privilege we have, the privilege of time. We can't go back and erase anything. And this morning we want to accept at face value this challenge, redeem the time. And only the Holy Spirit can impress upon our mind the importance of being time conscious. We cannot do it ourselves. We have trained ourselves all our lives not to be time conscious. So Holy Spirit, for those this morning that are willing, we invite you to make us very time conscious. The only one life we had will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.